inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
We talk a lot on this podcast about buying rental properties and building out your rental portfolio. But at some point, it might make sense to sell off some or all of your rental properties. Maybe something bad has happened, like the property isn't performing like it should be, or maybe the neighborhood has changed. Or on the other side of the coin, maybe the property is appreciated a lot and you want to take some money off the table. Well, that's exactly what happened to my guest today. His properties have appreciated a lot, and he thought it might be a good idea to sell off some of his properties. So on the show today, we're going to talk about exactly what he did and what his thought process was. And this is really going to be kind of an interesting follow-up, because about a year and a half ago, we had my guest's father on the show, Pete Barrow, talking about how he was building out his rental portfolio with his two sons. Well, today we've got one of his sons to come on and talk about selling some of their rental properties. So let's take a really quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll meet Isaac Barrow from Indianapolis. Having to evict a tenant is painful. The best way to protect yourself from evictions is to screen tenants, and the best way that I know of to screen tenants is TransUnion Smart Move. It's a really valuable online screening tool delivering credit, eviction, and background reports in minutes, and their proprietary tenant credit check predicts evictions 15% better than generic credit scores. See why over 4 million landlords have used Smart Move to make better leasing decisions. Use code RENTAL25 at checkout to save 25% at tenantscreening.com. That's code RENTAL25 at tenantscreening.com. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified, and I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. Before we talk about why you've been selling off part of your rental portfolio, let's talk about why you initially bought. So it was about 6 or 7 years ago you started buying. What was your goal when you were buying rental properties in the beginning?
Just to buy in appreciating areas with high rent potential. Obviously a lot of the stuff we bought were doubles. I mean, at one point we had like 13 doubles and only like 3 singles.
Okay.
So the goal was just appreciation, but also just strong rental returns. You know, houses that were mostly free and clear, honestly, at the time in the beginning. That we were getting, I would say, on average about 700 a side out of. So we're getting, you know, 1400, and our expenses were really low. Just high rental return, good appreciation.
Okay. And you were buying them free and clear, or the people you were buying them from had them free and clear?
Both, actually.
Okay. All right. So you were taking cash, you were buying rental properties that were generating pretty good cash flow, but then the long-term plan was that these properties were in neighborhoods where you thought they were going to appreciate?
I think we thought that, I mean, honestly, we didn't really think about it that much. I mean, I remember at one point saying like, hey, we should sell some of these. And that was in like 2017. And we didn't do it. But we were thinking about it. I think the plan was just that we would suck rent out of them for 5-10 years and just keep at least the best ones. And I mean, that's basically what we did.
Okay.
We still have a lot of stuff. So we still have, you know, 20, 22 doors, something like that. So I think the plan was just to keep them for like 5-10 years and then, wait for the area to tap out and then find the next one.
Yeah, it's interesting because Indianapolis, from what I understand, isn't really a market that's known for appreciation. It's kind of a linear market. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely a lot of areas in Indianapolis that haven't gone anywhere in a while and won't go anywhere for a while.
Yeah.
It's definitely a bit of a skill to know which one is the next one. A lot of it just depends on proximity to other places. I mean, what makes the area that we were in sort of appreciate is it's like right in the middle of two areas that have already sort of boomed. So it just made sense. There are definitely a lot of areas in Indy that probably aren't going anywhere.
Right.
And are just more known, those areas are more known just for good rental numbers, but not so much appreciation.
So did all of your properties have they all appreciated it, or was it just the ones that you've sold off that have appreciated?
I would say they've all appreciated, but the ones that we sold off were the ones that appreciated at the most significant rate.
Okay. Now, was there anything else that made you sell those properties? Like, were they more trouble to manage, or were you having any issues with those properties? Or was it just purely, we've got a big gain, let's take it?
It was purely a numbers thing. It was purely just, we have the opportunity to cash out and just, sell this house. And
okay. So you weren't having any problems with those properties per se. It's not like you sold off your 20 worst properties. It was like, hey, we got a ton of equity here. Let's take it.
I don't know that we wouldn't have bought these, but there are two houses in particular that just gave us more problems. There was one that just, and it was purely just bad luck. It was just, we just got a couple bad tenants and it was kind of hard to predict because they actually screened pretty well. But they didn't take very good care of the houses, and it just led to a pretty massive amount of turnover. Yeah. And we actually ended up selling that. And then we had another where obviously, and we delivered that house to the buyer vacant and fully rehabbed. We had some problems with that. And then we had another house where, the tenants were great. We never had to turn the house. We bought it with tenants in it, and every month those tenants paid. It was a double, so two tenants, and both tenants paid. The cash flow was good, but it was just a house where it was just a little too much work.
Sure.
I think we figured, we'll get to it eventually, but it was just a lot of work. So that made it to the point where it's like, yeah, let's just sell this.
Now, to give everybody some perspective, let's talk about one of the properties you sold, what you bought it for, how much you put into fixing it up, and then what you ended up selling it for.
Okay. Well, the main one I could think of is we bought a house pretty much in spitting distance of downtown. And we bought it for like 50, I think. And we put into it about 70. And honestly, the goal on that house was we're going to have a really high end rental. I mean, we made a point of fixing it up. I mean, not to homeowner grade standard, but fixing it up to a point of it being, definitely one of our higher end rentals. And, the plan was we'll fix it up. We'll make it really nice. We'll rent it out for like $1,500. Maybe we'll even Airbnb it. But as the market started to shift and adjust, we just basically said about halfway through, we were just like, hey, we could just sell this thing to a homeowner. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much what we did. I mean, we sold it for like $230 or something like that.
Wow. Okay. So you were in it all in it, like $110, and you sold it for $230. So that's like $100,000 gain.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, we probably were into it a little more than that. Probably
okay.
Closer to like 120, maybe even like 125 when you consider like holding costs.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, we didn't. We probably could have sold it for more, but we by the time we were done, it wasn't quite homeowner grade. Retail flip standard. If we'd gone into it from the beginning saying we're going to flip this and sell this to a homeowner, I think we could have probably sold it for more, but
sure.
we basically fixed it up to, I would say, middle tier homeowner standard.
Yeah. It's like in your head, when you guys were kind of thinking this through, were you thinking, well, we could rent this house out and make a few hundred bucks a month, or we could sell it and make about $100,000 right now, where if we're getting a few hundred bucks a month, it's going to be like our lifetime to make $100,000 off this house. Was that kind of the analysis that you were doing?
Yeah. I mean, it was just an analysis based on, you know, the rent. It's not really a strong rental in terms of we're going to be, you know, what, 120, 130 into it and then get, you know, 1500 out of it. The numbers aren't as strong as some of the other stuff we had. So we didn't necessarily view it as an extremely viable rental, but we viewed it as a extremely viable sale.
Right.
So it's just an analysis.
Sure. Now, what about taxes? Like having to pay those capital gain taxes, you know, any depreciation that you've taken over the years on the rentals you've sold, you've got to pay back. Was that a concern at all that, yeah, we're making this huge amount of money, but we're going to pay a ton of money in taxes?
No, not so much. I mean, we haven't really been hit with that because we sold most of those houses, you know, within the last year. So, I mean, we sold that house that I just mentioned in August.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, honestly, we haven't really been hit with that yet.
No,
but we're prepared.
Okay. So. Now, one thing that, like, I think about selling some of my property sometimes. I've got one property in particular where I just seem to have a lot of turnover for whatever reason. Nobody wants to stay in that house long term, and every year it turns over. Where most of my rentals, people just keep renewing, but that one property is, you know, I guess, you know, not really a problem property, but it's a little bit more work, and it's still profitable, but it's maybe like, I guess, like my worst property. Now, the property has appreciated, you know, probably maybe 30, 40 grand, something like that. And I've thought about selling it, taking the equity, and maybe using that money to buy something else. But in the back of my head, I just think, you know, in 10 or 20 years, this property is probably going to appreciate even more, and I'm going to be kicking myself if I sold it. So do you ever feel that way that, you know, maybe some of the properties you sold, you've got a good gain right now, but if you sold it, who knows 10 or 20 years from now what they could be worth?
That's definitely something we thought about when we decided, hey, we're going to sell all this stuff. And obviously we did it on a one by one basis. I mean, we don't want to flood the market. So we, you know, we would sell one, then sell the next, then sell the next, then sell the next. So yeah, it's definitely something we've thought about, but we thought that, you know, the area that most of these houses were in, there is appreciation, but how much more appreciation is there going to be? We just didn't think that the appreciation was going to be that much more significant, you know, from 2016 as it was from 2016 to 2019,
sure,
as it will be, you know, from 2019 to 2022 and then 2022 to 2030. And also just on the, you know, just on the possibility that we're wrong, we did still keep quite a few in those areas. So we're not totally out of them yet.
Yeah.
We just we'll look if we find it a good deal in those areas, we'll still buy. It's not like we want to be out of the area. But just a matter of, we don't think, just based on our market analysis and based on the people we've talked to, we don't really think that there's that much more room for growth. So it's not like we just basically sold, in our opinion, at the top of the market, especially in those areas. So yeah, we will be kicking ourselves if that happens, but
yeah.
I'm just not convinced that it
will.
Yeah.
I mean, no one ever got hurt taking a profit. So, I mean, you've got a real profit, taking that money and, you know, doing something else with it, I think is a great idea. Now, what about the process of selling? Did you have tenants in a lot of these properties as you were selling them, or did you wait for the properties to turn over?
Well, since most of these houses were duplexes, you know, most of the buyer base is going to be investors. So for the most part, I mean, we didn't really have to kick anyone out just for the purpose of selling. So most of these houses, the investors wanted the tenants in. Obviously, they'll want to see, you know, leases and rent ledgers and all that stuff to make sure tenants are current. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, we just let the tenants stay, mm-hmm. and the investors were fine with it. And the case of one client who bought two houses from us, all the tenants that he bought the house with are still in there and I'm still managing it.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, for the most part, we just kept everything, stable.
So how did you approach the tenants about that? Did you tell the tenants, hey, we're going to be listing the property. People are probably going to be coming through. You need to make sure you're keeping the property clean. Like, did you have a conversation with them about it? Or like, how did that work?
Yeah, we did. I mean, I told them, just one by one, I didn't want to, worry them or stress them out. Cause the first thing a tenant asks when you sell a house is, okay, do I have to move?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that, in none of those cases was true. Now, I don't know what their current landlords are doing. I don't know. Maybe they did kick a lot of them out, but we didn't do any of that.
Right.
And I just would tell them, even before we listed, I would just tell them, hey, we're considering selling. A lot of them I had known for a while, so they knew I wasn't just going to deceive them or lie to them.
Right.
Or sell the house and then just not tell them. And then one day their new landlord calls them and says, hey, I'm the new owner of the house now.
Yeah.
So
did any of the tenants give you problems with getting access or, maybe not keeping the property in the best condition? Like, was that an issue at all?
I mean, not as much as I kind of thought it would be. I mean, there are definitely a couple tenants who didn't like us walking through the house, but I just ensured them, I'll be there. They're not going to, they're not going to walk through the house and steal your stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All these people are, walking through with myself, a licensed agent and another licensed agent.
Okay.
And in most cases, the walkthroughs only lasted, 5 minutes, 10
right.
minutes, 15 minutes.
So. Yeah. So you were there. You personally went to every showing?
Not everyone, but most of them.
Okay.
Yeah, most of them I was there.
Okay. And then how did you find the buyers? Were you listing them on the MLS or were you trying to find other investors that maybe you knew in the area that might be interested?
We would just list on the MLS. And then as we started to find buyers, we would go back to them and say, hey, if you want to buy another, we have another here. Mm. We have another here.
Yeah.
Like we had one guy who bought, I think, two houses from us and he was a flipper. And we had another guy who bought two houses from us and he was buying with a 1031 exchange. So a couple of those, we were kind of just able to just farm it out, so to speak. Just, we would sort of get a feel for their situation and just say, hey, if you want to buy another, we have another. And then the rest of them, we were just listing on the MLS.
Right. Okay. So how long did it take from the time that you decided we're gonna sell off some of these until you got down to where you are today, where you've got a portfolio you're comfortable with? Like, how long did the whole process take?
It took about a year.
Okay.
Honestly, I remember the day my brother just said to me, hey, we should sell the house. I was in Holland at the time. It was about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, today we're closing. Oh, the buyer is closing on one of the last ones. And at this point now, we only have like two left that we still would like to sell. So probably about 15 houses in about a year.
Okay. Awesome.
Now, maybe a little more than a year.
Now, you handle most of the management for the rental properties. I mean, you work with your father and your brother, but you're kind of the point guy with the management. How has that made your life easier having half as many rentals?
Honestly, it has changed a little bit, but it's not like, I mean, management, it's just not, it's not a huge time suck, I guess I'd say, because it's, at the end of the day, it's just rentals and mm-hmm. most of them have been occupied for the last, year and a half, 2 years. So it's just dealing with a lot of the same tenants that I've been dealing with. Now, of course, it becomes less of a a time constraint because, you know, now we have 20, like I think like 20, 22 doors. And before we had like, at one point we had like 45 mm-hmm. and I was doing it all myself. So obviously it's a little easier, but
yeah,
but it wasn't ever for us a concern of just, we're spending too much time on management or I'm spending right. too much time on management. It was, like I said, it was purely just a numbers analysis. It has definitely opened me up a little bit. I'm not having to deal with as many maintenance calls, as many leasings and showings and all of that stuff and evictions. But yeah, I mean, I think either way, it was not a huge concern in terms yeah. of it taking up time or adding to my workload too right. significantly.
Well, it sounds like you've done everything exactly textbook perfect. I mean, you bought properties for cash flow. They provided great cash flow. And then the cherry on top is appreciation. I mean, we never want to count on appreciation, but you really hit it right and were able to take advantage of a lot of appreciation. So congratulations. And you really did a great job.
Yeah, thank you.
So if anybody is looking to invest in the Indianapolis area, I think you are a really good resource that people should reach out to. You are a realtor. You wholesale a lot of houses. You manage properties. If somebody is looking to invest in Indianapolis, what's the best way for someone to reach out to you?
You can call my cell. My name's Isaac, obviously, and my phone number is 317-207-4050. You can call or text that number. It's my cell. Or you can email me, and our email is just us@parrotpg, parrot like the bird. Our website is parrotpg.com. You can look on there and you could see some of our testimonials and just read a little more about what we do.
If you missed that or you want to look it up later on, I've got a link to Isaac's contact information on my website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode245. I'd like to thank today's sponsor for making this episode possible. It's Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. If you are looking to buy a rental property, the lender that I recommend you reach out to is Chaley Ridge. She's a nationwide lender, and she specializes in helping investors buy rental properties. She's got a ton of different loan programs. To give you a couple of examples, she's got a program where you can buy a rental with as little as 15% down. She has another program where you can get a first position HELOC on your rental property. And of course, she's got more traditional programs too. But whatever your situation is, Chaley has a loan that'll help you accomplish whatever it is you want to accomplish. If you want to find out more or set up a time to talk to Chaley, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE, lendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all of the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If this is your first time here, make sure you subscribe. We've got new interviews every single Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.